Welcome to Government Policy Unpacked, the podcast for proactive citizens where we break down the most pressing government policy issues so you can finally understand what's going on, be a part of the solution, and hold your government leaders accountable. Hey, I'm Rupesh Patel, and thanks for joining me. I post episodes at least weekly, and so if you like what you're hearing, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes. I truly appreciate your support. In today's episode, you're going to learn about what the trafficking of American-made guns and climate change have in common. Both of these issues are usually not talked about together, but are contributing to one of the most important issues facing America, the border crisis. Ready to unpack this one? Let's go. One of my favorite shows to watch on Nat Geo is called Trafficked. I don't know if you've heard of it, but the host of the show, Mariana Van Zeller, she's like one of the bravest, most determined journalists I've seen in action. I love her show. She meets with people on the ground to explore the underworld and black market industries you wouldn't even believe exist. It's crazy. She puts herself in these wild and dangerous situations, and the episodes, like, they're just intense. You're always worried about her safety. I remember watching one episode, though, about how easy and frequent the trafficking of a made-in-American guns had become to Mexico and beyond. I didn't even know this was, like, a major problem, but it, like, quickly became clear that these trafficked guns were just creating massive problems for ordinary people in Mexico and Central America. But I wasn't sure how big the problem was. She did a great job on showing the potential of it, but I just didn't know how prevalent it really was. Fortunately, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, Explosives, or people popularly know them as the ATF, traces trafficked guns. They haven't always made this a priority, but the Biden administration pushed to increase transparency around reporting. And what you learn nowadays in the reporting is that the majority of these guns used in crimes within Mexico can be traced back to three main states: Texas, Arizona, and California, which makes sense, right? Given how close they are to Mexico. The guns moving from these states through Mexico, these pipelines essentially, are popularly known as the Iron River. So you can Google that, you can find that. It's well known as that. And the reporting is showing also that pistols are usually the dominant type of firearm used in these crimes, both in Mexico and the U.S., but in Mexico in particular, higher powered rifles were used more often in Mexico. So the guns sourced from the US, they're also linked to violent crimes and conflicts in Central America too, particularly El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala. It's not entirely known how many guns are actually smuggled from the US to Mexico, but what we do know is that guns involved in crimes that were submitted to the ATF for tracing between 2022 and 2023 showed that 36% were traced to a purchaser in the U.S. These crime guns were purchased in the U.S. legally via a gun dealer, and then subsequently they were trafficked to Mexico. Interestingly, though, the remaining 64% of those crime guns that were submitted for tracing resulted in inconclusive sourcing, meaning they didn't know where they came from. So there could be a larger amount of crime-related guns that are still coming from the U.S. but are just not traceable. So you're probably starting to think, okay, that with the number of guns that's emerging and that's heading south, this is a problem, right? Like, this is going to create unsafe communities, and that's what's happening. Think about it. If you're surrounded by all kinds of crazy violence around you, with much of it fueled by gang activity and organized crime, would you want to stay where you are? Probably not. And so people faced with these realities feel they have no choice but to flee. And so you see entire families leave their homes because staying means they're risking their lives. And who would want to do that? Nobody would want to do that. Many of these families make their way to the U.S. border seeking safety and asylum. So the irony here is striking. American-made guns are helping drive violence that pushes people to America's doorstep. But guns are only part of the story. I did say that I would talk about climate change. So let's shift to that. Central America is one of the regions most affected by climate change. Extreme weather events, hurricanes, droughts, and rising temperatures, they're becoming more frequent and severe. These disasters, they're devastating crops, destroying homes, and forcing people to make impossible choices whether they stay and struggle to survive or leave in search of safety and stability and maybe better opportunities. There's a report from the Council on Foreign Relations in the U.S. that highlights how climate change destabilizes livelihoods and increases food insecurity. For example, in Honduras, hurricanes Eta and Iota hit back-to-back in 2020, displaced hundreds of thousands of people. Many of these climate migrants found themselves in the same situation as those fleeing violence. They head north to the United States. The climate connection doesn't stop there, though. The U.S. is also grappling with internal migration due to climate change, rising sea levels, wildfires, and extreme heat. Those things are displacing American citizens too, forcing them to think about where else they could live in the country. This creates pressure on infrastructure and housing, becoming landing zones for climate migrants. And so while America is dealing with internal migration driven by violence and climate impacts, they're also facing domestic migration challenges. And that puts a lot of pressure on things. So let's connect the dots on what do American guns have in common with climate change. American-made guns are fueling violence abroad, while climate change is a crisis worsened by global carbon emissions, including America's, is creating poor environmental conditions in destabilizing regions. Together, these forces, you can imagine, are creating a perfect storm for migration and a border crisis. So let's think about what can governments do. Let's start with a response to climate change. Global emissions need to come down, and we need to limit warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels. That position has been well cited by the scientific community. Further warming creates the likelihood for disturbances to occur that may not be reversible. No easy feat, right, to bring down emissions and shift our economies. But the good thing is that we know largely what needs to happen and how to do it. And I'll save that for a future episode, I promise. I'll dig into that even further for you. There does need to be some attention, though, on building climate resilience. And what that means is really helping countries adapt to climate change. We know that these impacts are here, and they're only going to get worse. And the impacts of climate change on humans and ecosystems and certain regions of the world is well and alive, and some regions are impacted more than others. Developing countries are in particular need of support in preparing for those potential catastrophic climate events. Recently at the UN Climate Conference in late 2024, there was an agreement to provide about $300 billion to help developing countries with climate funding. The scientific community thinks that should be about $1 trillion, but needless to say, funding is needed to support a massive adaptation gap. With the incoming Trump administration shifting back to this America First approach, it's going to be hard to see how he would support countries experiencing hard impacts of climate change, why that would even ever be a priority. But I would argue, and hopefully you can understand the argument that I'm going to make, is that it could have positive impacts on easing the pressure on their southern border over the long term if they made those efforts, if they supported those countries, built resilience, made people feel like it's safe enough and the conditions environmentally are good enough for people to stay. The same could be said about making serious efforts to curb gun trafficking to Mexico and Central America, right? Trump was in office, so if we can look back to see what he had done at the time. And he did try to take on Mexican cartels. And you're even hearing more recently Marco Rubio, who is trying to be the Secretary of State, you know, didn't deny or reject the notion that maybe American forces would have to go into Mexico and take out the cartels. So, you know, that's consistent with what Trump was trying to do when he was president the first time. What the first time, though, was largely focused on drug smuggling. And And when it comes to guns, he actually made it easier to export legal guns, so it may have contributed to the problem. There's also little transparency into the data behind gun trafficking, so you didn't really know how big of the problem was. There just wasn't an interest to do that. And so that changed under the Biden administration. The U.S. Attorney General under Biden ordered that the ATF provide annual reporting on the trafficking of guns. They just issued their final report. So I'm hoping that this transparency continues under Trump and that we can clearly track the problem, but also progress that could be made. The ATF also plays a critical role, not just in the reporting and the assessing of how bad trafficking is, but they played a critical role in enforcement. And they've seen some success. When the ATF does make an effort to prevent the trafficking of guns to Mexico, they've been successful with nearly 92% of these crime guns being recovered in the US, so not actually making its way across the border. To close off this episode, the migration crisis to the US we all see is a big challenge, and addressing gun trafficking and climate change are contributing factors to the problem. I recognize that the economic opportunities are also a driving force for why people migrate to the US, but even one could question the value in punishing countries with the Trump tariffs, particularly as it only makes things more expensive and creates hardships for folks outside the US. In trying to tighten the US-Mexican border with using tariffs, you may get this unintended consequence of even more migration and asylum seekers, because life back home is not safe because of the gun trafficking. The climate impacts are creating catastrophic climate disasters, and now their local economy is tanked to the point that there are a few good paying jobs. So there's just even more pressure. And listen, on the gun front, I'm not here to rail on America's Second Amendment or that guns are a part of American culture. I respect whatever Americans want for their country. But surely the majority of people can get behind that we need to have at least good data. We need to be tracing this stuff. We need to know how big of a problem, where the problem is, and if we're making progress. And hopefully we can also get behind of not supporting the illegal trafficking of firearms that ultimately destabilizes another region, particularly if it's naturally causing people to want to come to the U.S. I am hopeful overall. I've seen some more attention. People are becoming more aware of the climate impacts and the issue facing a lot of people and how that's creating climate migrants, essentially. And I'm also encouraged that you're seeing gun trafficking and that issue garner more attention as well. 60 Minutes actually just did a piece on the Iron River this past December that I encourage people to take a look at. We're all proactive citizens. If you're listening to this podcast, this is for that proactive citizens. And so it's up to us to hold our leaders accountable and push for meaningful change. Thanks for joining me on this episode of Government Policy Unpacked. If you found this discussion valuable, share it, subscribe it, and let's keep that conversation going. Until next time, take care, stay informed. Cheers.